Welcome everybody to this is happy second half of 2021 new year. So happy in effect, happy new year, right? I mean, we've got 6 months left of 2021. How exciting is it to be right here? Whether the first half of the year was what you wanted it to be, I mean, not everybody's walking around like Stanley Smith out there going, you know, hey guys, look at my numbers first half of the year. Like, man, I've killed it, right? So no matter whether you're Stanley Smith or whether you're whatever, I mean, here we are. Let's draw the line. We've got 6 months left of 2021, and it's going to be on fire. It's going to be exciting. We've got 2 full months left of write your own contract. So you field underwriters out there, no matter what contract level you're on right now today, you can promote yourself up to 120% contract level in this contract promotion. And you distribution builders have the ability to promote yourself up all the way to 140%. And so we've got 2 months. So we've got, hey, we've got like massive time. Like we got to go. But we've got 2 months left, right? June, great practice month, whatever, but let's go, July and August. I did make some notes this morning, man. I tell you, I was just, I'm so inspired. I'm so motivated. I'm so inspired based on what this organization can do in the second half of this year. I'm so in awe. And I'll just say it. I don't want to offend anybody out there, but I'm just in awe of what I believe God wants to do in this organization and raising up leaders. Just in my communication with him, I feel like the raising up of leaders, I feel like new leaders are being led into this organization in the seen and in the unseen. I just feel like that he wants to do something really special within the Cornerstone organization. And I will tell you what, I want the whole entire insurance industry to see what's going to happen the second half of this year. And he will certainly get all of the honor, glory, and credit for that. Okay. This is sort of back to basics a little bit, but 5 steps of being a leader. Okay. So for those of you guys out there that are leaders, this is the process. You're going to be able to find yourself in this process. For those of you guys that are new and you're wanting to become a leader, okay, this is the process. Write these 5 things down if you can. If you're not driving, if you're driving, pay attention to the road and you can listen to the link later. Okay, so number one, leaders, they're coachable. Okay, we just say leaders listen. They listen a lot. They're coachable. They're teachable. It's not that they're incapable of making decisions. They make decisions all the time, but when possible, they make decisions under counsel. Okay. Let me just say that again. Okay. Leaders guys, if you have to make a decision and it's like, you got to make it right then, well, then leaders make a decision and then they work their butt off to make it the right decision. Okay. Not like leaders make the right decisions all the time. As a matter of fact, a lot of decisions we make, they're not the right decisions. But once we make the decision, we have to make it be the right decision. Okay, now that's a whole different teaching, a whole different seminar I'll do some other time. But I will tell you that leaders, when possible, they live their life and they make their decisions. They wage war on mediocrity. They build their game plan around counsel. Counsel from an upline, from a mentor, somebody that has been, preferably somebody that has been where they are. That's why these outside speakers, listen, John Gordon, I love John Gordon. John comes out with a new book, I'm going to read it, right? Andy Andrews, one of my favorite authors ever, right? He comes out with a new book, I read it. But I don't think either one of those guys have ever gone out and did a presentation, insurance presentation. I don't think any of those guys have ever sat down at a kitchen table with somebody and talk to somebody about their income, assets, and existing insurances. I don't think any of those guys have ever built an insurance organization. So I'm not going to take counsel. I'm going to learn from what they write, okay, or speak about. But I'm going to take counsel from the people that have been in life where I actually am. And for me, that's one person. That's Barry Clarkson, okay? He's physically been where we are, okay? And we, truth be known, we have a long way to go to ever get to where he's gotten to in this industry, okay? So let's all pray for Barry to live a long time, okay? So listen a lot, being coachable, making direction based on counsel. It doesn't make a leader weak to counsel. It makes a leader strong when they counsel. Leaders that make decisions without counsel, I will show you an ego problem. I will show you an ego. You show me a leader that has a challenge with submission, and I will show you a leader with an ego problem. And at some point in time, if not currently, that ego problem is keeping them from vital growth. Okay, so number one step of being a leader. Number two step of being a leader, massive action. Okay, we can talk about definiteness of purpose. We can talk about singleness of purpose. We can talk about burning desire. But guys, here's the thing. Your numbers are your numbers. And we can go back and we can analyze your numbers. But at some point in time, okay, so you know, they say this. They say statistics are for losers. You've heard that, right? Typically, it's brought up. Okay, when your favorite sports team loses, the coach gets on there and they talk about statistics. Okay, I remember, okay, one of my favorite sports teams, they had this coach, and this coach was really selling the future, and it was always selling the future, always selling the future. And their one loss record was horrible. But every single loss, the coach would get on the press conference and talk about statistics. And they would talk about this statistic that showed that we whooped their fannies, and this statistic that talked about we should whoop their fannies, and this statistic, and this statistic. But why was he talking about statistics? Because the real number that mattered, the scoreboard, when the clock went to zeros, we were at least 1 point less than the opponent, which means we lost the game. So statistics are for losers. Okay, so I say that, I just had to give some context to it, okay, because I don't want anybody sending me text, John, please don't call people losers, there are no losers, and we have to give participation trophies. Okay. If you're not winning, if you're not writing the number of applications you need to write, I think it's time we look at statistics. I think it's time that we look at your numbers. I think it's time that you pull out your activity tracker. Do you have one? Well, I think the activity tracker is pretty silly, and I'm just not going to spend $7 on an activity. Okay. Well, okay. So get a white sheet of paper and make your own activity tracker. Okay. This was my calendar when I was in the field. Okay. I had Monday, and then I had space to write my appointments, and then I had Tuesday and space to write my appointments. Then I would always do Wednesday and space to write my appointments. Not as much space, because Monday and Tuesday, I tried to work a lot of appointments. And then I had Thursday. Not as much space on Thursday as Wednesday, because I was winding down my week and getting more into, you know, the pending and the things that, and then I would do Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So on one sheet of paper, I would have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I can still, I don't know where it is. I can't put my hands on it right now, but I guarantee you I could go find the bulk of my calendars that would show people, like, what did my schedule look like? Okay, I tried to book my appointments. You know, it depends on if I was running the same county. Yeah, I would book my appointments every hour. If I was going from county to county and my schedule was not really like it was not perfect, it was okay. It required more driving for me, but I was not gonna not book an appointment because I had to drive in between appointments. And so maybe I would book my appointments every hour and a half. And then because I got sick of being late for appointments, I started booking like I'm gonna be there around this time. Okay, I'm very busy. Got to see a lot of people. Got to get information out to people that requested it. I know you say 3:30 is going to be your best. I'm going to do my best to be there at 3:30, but please give me some grace because of drive time, traffic, road construction. Maybe the previous house I was in, the people had questions, but give me some leeway. I will be there as close to 3:30 as possible. That's the way I've set up my appointments. Okay. How did I get into that? I don't know. Matt, statistics, okay? If you're not winning, we need to know your numbers. If you're not winning, we need to know. Okay, so we need to be able to look at this sheet of paper if this is your calendar like mine, and we need to be okay. How many appointments did you do last week? Well, I did seven. Okay, well, seven's a great number if you want to stay frustrated the rest of your career. Seven is a wonderful number. Because some weeks you'll go out and on seven appointments, you will write four or five applications. But on the majority of weeks, you will go out and write nothing. Okay, so seven, it's a great number. Okay, if you want your results to look like that, okay, if we want our results to look more like that, then there's a number higher than seven. Okay, maybe it's 10, maybe it's 12, maybe it's 15. Okay, and we have to start matching up the number of appointments with the amount of income you make because our business, it is very, very predictable. If you want to make $150,000 a year, there's a certain amount of appointments that you have to do per week. Maybe that number is 10 to 12. If you want to make over 175,000 and closer to 200,000 a year, I think the number of appointments go between maybe 12 and 15. Okay, if you want to make over 250,000 a year, I think the average number of appointments of everybody within the Equus Financial organization that makes over $250,000 a year, I think it's probably around 18 per week. So let's reverse engineer that number. How much time do I have to spend on the phone? How much time do I have to spend? How much time do I have to spend checking interest, setting up appointments? I mean, the majority of my week, the majority of time most likely will be setting up those appointments. Hey, that's okay. It's okay. Maybe I recruited an appointment setter. I don't think the last Terry Stevens, I don't think has joined Equus Financial or the Cornerstone Group. Okay. So, but we can reverse engineer that. But statistics are important because we do have to measure. If we're not winning, if we're not writing the amount of annualized premium we need to write to pay our bills, that's not okay. This is not network marketing. It's not Amway. It's not okay to always be looking 90 days out thinking that your life's going to change. It's not okay. This is a real business. This is a real business that you can make real money week one, but you have to treat it like a real business. So number one, we've got to listen a lot. We've got to be coachable. Number two, we've got to put massive action into our business. Okay. Massive action, up the failure rate, up our success rate. Okay. Dave Anderson's got one of the best recruiting books out there called Up Your Business. Up Your Business. Okay. Let's come together and let's write a Cornerstone Financial book, the Cornerstone Group book called Up Your Production, okay? And we can list the things that up your production, okay? Number one, listen a lot. Number two, work smart. Work massively, okay? Number three, results, okay? Listening, being coached, being mentored, growing yourself into the type of person other people want to be in business with and do business with. Massive action, okay. Probably one of the biggest personal growth things there are out there is action, Okay, action feels good. Action raises our self-image. As our self-image goes up, everything good in our life tends to expand when our self-image goes up. Okay, so in essence, and I've said this a lot, if we boil everything down, if John Kite sits in front of a mirror and we boil everything down to, John, what's your passion in life? Okay, it would be this. I want to be a meaningful specific in helping people raise their self-image. Because if I can get people to do the things to raise their self-image, I believe I can position people to do great things in their life. Because that's the process of growth. Raising your self-image, learning who you are, learning the truth about who you are. And for some of us, it's going to be great news because of all the lies that have been told us and we've accepted them as truth. Okay, as we renew our minds, as we transform our lives based on the renewing of our minds, our self-image goes up. As we work feels good. It's weird to say this, but failure starts feeling good. Because we start looking at ourselves in the mirror and we start going, man, I got what it takes. I'm willing to go out there and get the nose. I'm willing to drive the miles. I'm willing to sit in my car 3.5 hours away from home after 5 no-shows and a chargeback and be okay. Like there's not much else negative that can happen in my business, okay? So I can get through that. And see, all of a sudden now my image, my perception of who I am starts going up. Start saying, hey, bad at the bone. You know, not that my life's perfect. It's not. It's struggle after struggle. But going through the struggles is what raises our self-image. So if you're in the struggle, if you're in the soup, man, if you're in that part, hey, that's what it's all about, man. Like, it's okay. Quit trying to cut that time short. Quit thinking it's like getting out of that. No. Embrace it. And it's not so much that you get out of it. It's so much that what happens inside of you all of a sudden calms everything around you. So I don't want your mental image of being getting out of it. Like a helicopter comes in, drops a rope and pulls you out of the suck, right? Now I want you, the mental image I want you to have is that you're in the suck, but the more you discipline yourself daily, the more you grow, the more your self-image grows, okay? And that's a daily thing. The more the suck around you starts disappearing, because as your self-image goes up, that suck cannot be present, okay? That suck, that struggle cannot be present in the life of somebody's self-image goes up. Now, the very moment somebody, and a lot of times this is based on wrong association, when people start, their self-images start to get low, watch the suck, watch the struggle, watch the soup reappear. I can about like teach on that for the next couple of hours. That is a big deal. Okay, so number one, listen a lot. Number two, work, massive work. Number three, we got to figure out how to get results. Results always come when self-image goes up, okay? So figuring out how to get results, a lot of that is personal growth. A lot of that is the massive action and the embracing failure, embracing the process, okay? But it's figuring out how to get results, and that's different for everybody. Now, number four. When you figure out how to get results, there's not a shortage of recognition in our industry. You're going to be made to feel like you're, I don't know, Tom Brady, Tiger Woods. You're going to be made feel like you're the greatest in the world. I mean, recognition has the ability to do that. And here's the thing. Properly received, I think recognition is great. Properly received. Improperly received, recognition creates the worst thing in the world for you. The very moment you start thinking you are all that, all of a sudden, see, that's not self-image. That's not self-image at all. That's ego. The more your self-image goes up, the more humility you show, because you realize I'm not all that. There's a power inside of me that's all that, but I'm not all that. The more your true self-image goes up that causes results and causes all good things, the more humility circles your life. But you start letting recognition go to your head and you start thinking that all of a sudden now you are all that. I tell you what, I want to sell tickets to the show that people are going to be able to watch in your life as your life spirals. So when you start getting results, which you will, and you start getting recognized and you start getting put on conference calls and you start getting put on Equus and you start doing up, okay. But hear me today and go ahead and script out in your brain, when this recognition comes, I'm going to deflect it. And I'm simply, any recognition that I get, I'm going to turn that light and I'm going to shine that light on others. I'm not going to let that light permeate me and make me think I'm anything that I'm not, because I ain't. The light would make me think I'm all that. It's bull. But I can take that light and I can do something good with it, and I can start reflecting that light, and I can start edifying other people. I can start edifying my upline and what my upline's done in my life. Can't talk enough about what Barry Clarkson has done in my life and the Equus financial system. Okay, I can talk about other leaders that are my running buddies, and I can give them necessary recognition. Okay, because we can't recognize ourselves, right? So might as well put recognition on my leaders and my running buddies and things like that. Okay. Number five, life. I don't care how successful you become. I don't care how much awesome results you figure out how to create. Life's going to throw at you negative. Okay, there's going to be negative situations you're going to encounter in life. You've just got to learn as a leader, leaders handle negative with a great attitude and they keep moving forward in their life. And really, you don't even know they're going through the struggle. You might like learn of the struggle after they've gone through it and conquered it, but you never know they're going through the struggle. Why? Because leaders just have that thing about them that's just like they're always forward focused, man. They've got a great attitude. They're moving forward and everything. So number one, they listen. Number two, they work massive action. Number three, they figure out how to get results. Number four, they stay plugged in. Number five, they handle negatives of life with a great attitude and not letting it affect their activity. So those are the five steps of being a leader. Let's see here, 10:34. Okay, just a few more minutes. Field underwriters, you're looking to have a six-figure income plus remaining part of the year. Here's a couple things that I would do now, today, okay? Or start thinking about today, okay? How are you going to navigate the rest of the summer? How are you going to navigate the rest of the summer? How are you going to navigate Labor Day weekend? How are you going to navigate football season? How are you going to navigate what are the things that the fall of the year? Do you have young children? Are they going to start school? How are you going to navigate that? You don't make that decision the day before. So if you want to have an incredibly prosperous remaining half of the year, sit down and map out how that's going to look. Holiday weekend with Labor Day, with Thanksgiving, with Christmas. Okay, how are you going to navigate that? How are you going to work? Okay, how are you going to get your sits in? You can do it. It's done. It's done. And the cool thing about the holidays is that people that do what I'm talking about and they sow the seeds for this, they almost always have a record month in December. How do you have a record month in December? I don't know, but they do it. It's done all the time. It's not like it's one of those. It's just, it's cool to see, but it's not like one of those things. It's like, oh, you never see that. No. It really does happen all the time. But I honestly think it's simply the harvest that comes from people that forward think and really start scripting out their lives and living intentionally. Okay. I really do think that. So that's number one. Number two, how much are you investing each week? Okay. Figure out how to get your hands on some money and get some leads. Decide how you're going to work. Okay, I do think that if you're full-time face-to-face, I do think that there are going to be appointments that you're going to need to do virtually. Okay, and if you're 100% virtually, I understand why you would commit to 100% virtually. But you know, I feel like that there are going to be some people locally that you can go right if you go put your eyeballs in front of them, okay? So I am an advocate of knowing who you are. Are you face-to-face? Are you virtual? You need to know who you are. But don't be so rigid that you lose common sense. Don't be so rigid that you lose common sense. Well, they said if I'm going to be virtual, I've got to be 100% virtual. So this person that told me they'd rather me come see them, I'm just not going to go see them. Like, I don't understand that. I just don't. I try to understand it. I love the focus, but I just don't understand that. Well, I'm full-time face-to-face, and I get somebody that they don't want me to come to their house. They're still, you know, scared of COVID, whatever. You know, they don't want to sit on the front porch. They don't want me to put the football helmet mask on. They don't want me to do that, so they want to do virtual. But I'm face-to-face. I don't do virtual. I don't like to do virtual. Do a virtual appointment. What I'm an advocate of is do what you have to do to get your sits in every single week. And if you commit to your sits, which is your action, and you commit to your attitude, I know. It's not I think. It's not I hope. I know you will win every single week. Every single week. You'll win. So script out how you're going to go through the second half of the year. Script it out, baby. Go all the way to January 1st. How are you going to do it? Okay. You got some big things coming up. Equus Financial has a virtual conference coming up in September. Okay. That needs to be on your calendar. That is a non-negotiable. Okay. It's a virtual event. I wish it was face-to-face. I will tell you that I think that Cornerstone, I think that we're really close. I'll have a conversation with the leaders about this before we announce it. But I think that we're really close to announcing a face-to-face Cornerstone, true Cornerstone, face-to-face day and a half conference, okay? I've got the location picked out. Everything has lined up. I will talk to Barry before any dates. But guys, I'm excited about that. And here's why I'm excited about it, okay? It's not going to be, I don't want to show. Okay, I'm not thinking about how the stage show. I don't care about that. What I want is I want a stage, I want a microphone, and I want our leaders teaching. I want the Cornerstone group's leaders teaching. I want a stage that gives them a microphone and a voice, and whoever wants to show up for that, they will grow, they will learn. But that's going to be the power of growing leaders in the Cornerstone group. And it happens face to face. So that'll happen. When? I don't know. But we got virtual coming up in September. So let's focus in on the Equus Financial's virtual conference, which I think is a Friday But that's coming up in September. Invest in the amount of leads that you need. And even if you're working A leads, guys, going back and listening to Terry Stevens' message last week, that's a message that I would listen to every single week. Okay. So you field underwriters, I'm going to put this challenge on you. Okay. Go get that link. It was last week's Facebook Live. It was Terry Stevens. Get that link. We had some challenges in the beginning, but we ironed them out. Listen to that. Listen to what Terry teaches about booking appointments. I think that that call she did last week was transformational for anybody that wants to earn a six-figure income in our organization. The secret to the sales process is, I think one of the secrets is the fact that, we don't succeed because we sell people life insurance. We take people that don't have a need, that are not interested, but our presentation, we sell them. No. That's not how we succeed, okay? We succeed by seeing a certain number of people, and out of a certain number of people every single week, there are people that identify themselves as, we want the coverage. Okay, here's my health. Here's my existing insurances. Here's my budget here, but we want the coverage. Okay, now I do want to say this. I do think that a secret to getting to that point is finding out the mindset of the person you're sitting with. Okay, so listen to, if you don't listen to anything about the call, listen to this. I think a secret to all great field underwriters, they have the ability to discern. I can say that it's the personality, but it's not so much the personality as it is the mindset that the person, the client has right now about you sitting in front of them. So I typically would ask somebody, what were you thinking about when you filled out this form? Are you just wanting to make sure that the mortgage is protected if you pass away or get sick or hurt? What were you thinking about? Asking somebody, genuinely asking somebody what they were thinking about when they filled out the form or what they're wanting to happen, it allows me to cheat. That would be a good say, how to cheat in the insurance business. Ooh, a lot of people would plug into that message. Like, how do I cheat? No. Okay, so how do I cheat? Ask the person what they're thinking about in such a way that they tell you what they're thinking about. I just filled it out. I don't even know why I filled it out. I've already got coverage and I probably don't qualify, I probably don't whatever. Or yeah, I just my wife and I, or my husband and I were talking about it, and I don't know, we just felt like it was something we needed to check into. Or maybe they sit there and tell you, yeah, I'd like to make sure that if something happens to me, I want to make sure that my spouse and my kids are able to stay in the house. I want to do it. So when you ask people, they will tell you, if you ask in such a way, okay, and you build rapport. Yeah, I'm not going to go through rapport building, but I will remind you that I felt like a key thing that I did was I always made sure that they understood who I was as a field underwriter, not a life insurance salesman. Okay. But asking the people why they filled it out, what they're thinking, when people tell you, their answer to that really lets you know what your communication needs to be. Right? It just does, right? It kind of dictates what presentation you give them based on their thought process. If their thought process is one way and you go at it from the wrong way, it ain't gonna happen. But the very moment you start talking, if they're thinking something different and you start talking, they're not listening. You're Charlie Brown's teacher. What? You're not communicating to them. See, you get these field underwriters, they come out and they go, oh, everything went great, and I communicated so awesome to them, and they told me they wanted to think about it. Then you didn't communicate with them. Oh, okay. I'm getting into stuff I really didn't want to get into, but I do think that that's important, and I do think that that is a secret to field underwriting. Okay, ask people what they're thinking in such a way that they tell you what they're thinking. That allows you to cheat. I'll end with this. The second half of this year, second half of 2021, for anybody that's hearing my voice, it can be incredible time for you, okay? And if you want that to be an incredible time for you, then you need to get very emotional about the result that you want to create, okay? So before I go any further, let me pound that. You need to be emotional. If there's one thing that I sense when I talk to agents that are struggling, they don't really know why they're doing what they're doing. They're not why driven, and it shows. They're almost going at this like a job. And I will tell you, I've heard people teach others how to go at this like a job, and I've always disagreed with that. I don't think that you can bring a job mentality into your own business and ever succeed. Get emotional about your why. Said another way, get emotional about the result that you want to create. You want to make 150, 160, 170,000 the remaining part of the year. You want to make 250,000 the second half of this year. Get emotional about that and what that would allow you to do or create the circumstance, the positive circumstances that that income would create in your life. So while you get emotional about the result, once you reverse engineer and you come out with the work process, don't get emotional about that. Don't ever get emotional about the process. Get emotional about the result that the process produces. Do you realize this? It's not one workout that makes a bodybuilder. It's not one football practice that made Tom Brady. And it's not one week, it's not one day that makes you Andrew Pappas or Deanna Cooper or Daniel McRae or Brandon Hall. The process, pretty mundane. I mean, once the process is created, you just go do it. Process. How much time do I have to spend on the phone booking appointments? How many texts do I have to send? How many phone calls? How many messages do I have to leave? Just the process. How many sits do I have to go do? I'm going to go do sits. Why? Because out of 15 sits, I know six or seven, they're going to want the coverage and I'm going to be able to cover it. There's going to be certain aspect of them that don't think they need the coverage because they have existing coverage. And when I look at their existing coverage, they've got crap. And I'm able to be a savior, an insurance savior to them by getting them out of crap into something good. And now I become a meaningful specific in their life. How many field underwriters do we have that's still not sold out to looking at existing insurance, knowing that so much existing insurance is bought based on name recognition? How many AARP policies are there out there? Can I tell you this? AARP sells more than Equus. Crap insurance that people buy through the mail. Globe Life, are you kidding me? Lincoln Heritage, are you kidding me? State Farm, Farm Bureau, Allstate. Guys, whenever my prospects would say they had existing insurance, anytime they ever said they had existing insurance through one of these companies, it was like inside I wanted to go, yeah, because I knew I was going to be able to put them in a better position. And those clients, they never come off the books. Because what you did for them, they know they can't ever repay you. It's like if I would have died with this coverage, or if I would have continued on with this coverage, there would have been negative circumstances. But you, John Kite, you came into my house. I told you I didn't need mortgage protection. I told you I wasn't even interested. But you looked at my policy, you gave me an honest policy review, and I found out that I had a policy that was less than what I could afford and less than what I could qualify for. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Tell you what, it saving those people, it was about worth everything in when I was in the field of my career. And I know it will be for you. Second half of the year, happy 6 month New Year. Here we go. Here we go, baby. July to December 31st. You focus like you've never focused. Discipline yourself. Examine the activities that you're doing in your life and the ones that are not congruent with who you want to be and where you want to go. Today's the day to stop it. If you need professional help stopping it, get professional help stopping it. But today's a day that we draw that line in the concrete and we move forward. First half of the year, not what you want it to be. First half of the year was awesome. Great. Either way, let's go. Because what we can do in this organization, the people that we can serve, and the leaders that we can build, I think there's never been a time in our country's history where we're needed more than we're needed right now. So, with that, God bless you guys. Have a great week.